they're going to reveal why they did it. Do we care? Is it worth the fallout in New York City? In the meantime, let's talk about healthcare, baby. We've only been talking about it for, 5 months on this show. Senators say thumbs up to the next process, moving the debate along. 60 votes were needed. They got the 60. But really, what does it mean? And should you even bother to try to read the 2,074-page bill? Well, are the senators reading it? The answer to that has to be no, because how could they possibly have the time to go through everything the way you would have to comb through it? Even with AIDS, there's simply not enough time to do it unless you completely skip any time with your family and ignore everything else that's being discussed in the Senate. So the answer is absolutely not. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Hope you had a fabulous weekend. During this hour, we'll announce whether anybody nailed the score. It was the Chargers and the Broncos who took each other on this past week. And I think some of us missed the boat on our guesses. Let's just say that. But I'm not revealing whether somebody nailed the score or not. We did have some that, I will say, I know off the top of my head, because I haven't even gone into the file yet, that came rather close. We're kind of like Larry King when it comes to nail the score. We wait till the very last second. You know, he says he doesn't over-prepare for interviews, so we don't over-prepare for letting you know who won, nailed the score, because we want it to be a surprise, the reaction, should somebody nail it. So we put the guesses under lock and key, and every single time we announce it, I go in. I mean, this is really true. I have a safe at the house, and it's a safe. I've got the safe right here on the desk. Let me see if you can. I'm going to move it around if you can hear that. And I have a key, and I turn the key, and right before we go to the segment, I will look. How's that? Kind of like when, what's his name? Come on, help me here. Oh, Geraldo Rivera. Remember the safe deal that he had? Al Capone, we're going to break open the safe. See what we find inside. We do actually have everybody inside, you know, at least theoretically we have their guesses. So it really is true. Let's dive right into it and talk about healthcare here, because Saturday they were burning the midnight oil once again, this time they being the Senate. So the Senate voted in favor of debating healthcare, that whole overhaul, and whether it's supported in the upcoming months is a riddle that I can answer for you. The answer is no, at least the way it stands now, because your more conservative and your more moderate Democrats will stand in the way of it, I believe, unless a few things are taken out. So right now there is no health care reform bill. There is the version of it, and there is the vote to debate it. But if even it were to pass, it would look completely different, I think. However, there is always the chance that if a certain couple senators get what they want, what they need for their constituents, whatever it is that they're lobbying for in their area through various amendments, maybe they could be persuaded to change and to go with the flow, as it were. So as you can imagine, on the Sunday Swirl, what we affectionately call the talking heads on the political scene, you know, ABC, NBC, CBS, et cetera, and down the line, have lots of politicians on over the weekend on Sunday. So Chuck Schumer, the longtime senator from New York, and Senator John Kyle were guests on Face the Nation, and they talked about two different, radically different points of view as to where we were headed with health care and the Senate. Chuck Schumer, as you can imagine, was pretty excited and feels like this is a step in the right direction.
It was a very good night for us. Look, there are still many bumps in the roads, discussions, arguments, disagreements, but I think now the wind is at our back. There's real momentum. And the good news here is we still have a very diverse caucus. But every Democrat, from the most liberal to the most conservative, very much wants to get a bill.
And the reason is because ordinarily when you do start debate on a bill like this, it ends up passing, and most of our constituents are saying you need to do everything you can to stop it. And the best way to stop it is not to start it, but rather to go back and start over again with more Republican ideas in the legislation than is currently the case. So that's why you had every single Republican saying, no, not this. First of all, the American people, by public opinion surveys, have made it very clear they want this whole thing aired out. They would rather have us do it right than do it quickly. We've had so many deadlines. It has to be done before August. It has to be done before October, and so on. And now the president says he's got to have it by the end of the year. The reality is this is a huge issue affecting every American, and we do need to do it right. And the object is not to delay for delay's sake, but rather to have an opportunity for everyone to see what's in it, to understand it, to know how much it costs, and to know how it's going to impact their lives.
All right, so well said. That was my problem with this all along. It's a game changer. It's a big game changer. So, okay, you can have a deadline, but a serious deadline, a serious timeline, and discuss it and say, look, by March of whatever, 2010, that's it, boom. End of story, whatever. Or before that, whenever it was. This was the problem from the beginning because it was masqueraded through and then, of course, stopped and the discussion and the debate across the country ensued like a wild forest fire in California raging out of control and good for all the people who wanted to throw in their two cents because it does affect every single one of us. So now the process moves along and moves to the debate section. We'll see ultimately. As I said, I don't think anything comes out of that right now. And, of course, you're talking about a break. So we're still on that timetable of months. But we'll see. Something could change. Somebody decides to go in a different direction. And there are three key moderates who right now voted to move things along but aren't on board with the current form of the health care reform bill anyway. So there's some... You know, there was one hurdle cleared, but this is just the debating process. So, like Mary Landrieu from Louisiana, they're calling it the Louisiana Purchase because, of course, there was an amendment that would get money she needed for what happened, the ripple effects of Katrina. And so the 60-39 vote opens the door for the debate. It doesn't happen until after Thanksgiving. It's, again, the main thing is... supposedly is to extend the 31 million Americans who don't have health care coverage to have them get it. We've been over this forwards and backwards and everywhere in between. Saturday was just the first round in this fight in the Senate. There are holdouts, like I said, and this open debate could certainly change things. So this is just moving this forward. Now, when you look at, I mean, this is the problem. You're talking about massively, fundamentally changing our health care system and the way that we get health care. It also expands the size of government. How many times have we said that the role of the government, all that stuff? And here's my biggest problem with all of it. We don't know how much we're going to be taxed. It increases massively the tax burden. And if you work for a small business, which means 500 employees or less, look out because... if in the end they have to slice people out because they cannot afford whatever's thrown their way, then that's what's going to happen. If you have to pay for health care, then you're stuck with health care and maybe you can't afford it. Maybe you're barely affording the salaries. I know a lot of people in that situation. So the problem is the unknowns. They're guesstimates at best. And you know what guesstimates are. I have been burned many times in my life. So imagine a guesstimate with your health and mine. All right, you can always throw in your two cents, 800-259-5791. But on the flip side, back, we have a daily salute. You're going to love it. It's a big-time reversal. See, there is power in numbers. We'll tell you what happened next.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw of free enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states, "It's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel." Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
When the electricity goes out, how will you boil water, cook dinner, light your home, or get news reports? Most families are not prepared for even the shortest power outage due to hurricanes, tornadoes, ice storms, and so on. But you can prepare your family for emergencies and not spend a lot doing it with the amazing products from Carol Stove. CarolStove.com is a family preparedness website that has everything you will need in the event of emergency at big discounts. Kerosene stoves, lanterns, emergency radios, water filters, LED flashlights, and even an oven for baking. CarolStove.com is the largest selection of kerosene stoves on the internet. They've even put together two family emergency kits at big discounts that include everything you'll need for the next extended blackout. With carolstove.com's family emergency kits, you'll be able to cook, bake, light your home, make safe drinking water, and hear the news. And you'll be surprised how little you'll spend on Carol Stove's incredible products. For example, our most popular single burner stove starts at only $58. See our complete line of quality stoves and ovens at carolstove.com. That's K-E-R-O-Stove.com. Keep cooking with carolstove.com.
Outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. And since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. Man, it doesn't show signs of stopping, and I've brought me some corn for popping. The lights are turned way down low. Let it snow, let it snow. When we finally
it was bound to happen
night.
That we were going to have Christmas music on this show, as much as Matt and I complained about it. But it's appropriate for this story, my friends, so we had to roll it out for you, right? How about this? As I said, power to the people, baby. Remember we were telling you last week about the kids who send letters to the North Pole to Santa Claus, and then they get responses? I think when I was a kid, we did that. I'm almost pretty sure we did it, at least in school. So anyway, so this has happened for a very long time. And they'll get these letters that come back that are postmarked. So kids believe. They believe in Santa Claus. You don't want to destroy it. It's that whole thing about destroying the chain of Santa. There has to be a certain age. Like, do you remember who destroyed Santa for you? Well, for me, it was Eddie Vaccaro, who lived down the street, who had me practically in tears, and I was only 5 years old. So that's ridiculously young. I think kids are usually like 7 or so, or maybe 8, I don't know, before they have the Santa myth destroyed. Do you remember when it was destroyed for you, Matt? Were you like 3?
I was younger. I had an older sister, and I had a bunch of older kids in my neighborhood. So, I mean, I remember believing in Santa and going to the whole thing, but I think, I'm sure by the time I was 5, it was, the jig was up.
Yeah, the jig was up for both of us then at 5, like I said, too.
I knew what was going on, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's the problem when you're around, I was around older kids, and then they can't wait to spoil it. They can't wait to squash it for you, and then you don't believe no matter what. And that always aggravates parents, especially when you're still young. 5 is still young, and so then they don't like the fact that your older sibling or somebody down the street or cousin or whoever ruined it, and they try to pretend that that's not true. Well, that's not true, and you never believe them.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know. I still like had fun with it, though. I remember fake putting the cookies out and doing all that. Just so. I mean, we even joked about what kind of cookies my dad wanted.
Of course.
So.
Yeah, knowing full well.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly. So we go from the fantasy of health care reform to this fantasy that still has children excited, Santa and getting the mail from Santa. So it was supposed to be toast this year. That small Alaskan town, they said they weren't going to do it because they had privacy concerns, and they changed their mind. There was a reversal from the Postal Service. It was announced heading into the weekend. And what they said was, we didn't want to spoil people's Christmas. It was a decision we had to make based on privacy. And it is labor intensive, but we're able to resume it and still make it this holiday. So the letters are going to be answered under tightened, what they call privacy rules. And it's going to be nationwide that they're going to do this because they had security concerns. Yeah. About a program in Maryland last year, and that's what ruined it. So now they don't have to worry about it. Mm-hmm. So they have a specific address to send the Santa letters to the Postal Service. And, of course, children can write Santa to the program at 1, it's so easy to remember, 1 Santa Claus Lane, North Pole, Alaska, 99705. You know that they have like 100 people that volunteer and answer the letters. I think that's very cool. It's like a town, the people in this town in the North Pole, it's a town of about 2,100, and they were really upset because their whole image is about this Kris Kringle drive and everything, and the post office, it's one of the big attractions when tourists come up, and the North Pole postmark. So they were really upset that they weren't going to get to do that, and now it's all turned around. So that is our daily salute. Well, you know, sometimes it's a good thing when things come to an end. In that case, it wouldn't have been a good thing because it would have spoiled Christmas for too many innocent kids, right? This is a good thing that this is coming to an end. I never watched it, but because I'm aware, I certainly know it existed. John and Kate Plus 8, it is done as of Monday night. 4 seasons, they were just, you know, plugging along. I guess a lot of people would watch them. They had pretty decent ratings on this little cable network, TLC. Lots of fans, and they would tune in and watch to this version of a reality show. But then all hell broke loose. And, of course, Kate was controlling and John was fooling around and he was passive and whatever happened in their crazy marriage. So after renewing their wedding vows just a year ago, they're getting divorced and the program is done, as you know. They're not going to renew them. It looked like she was going to have a solo show, but then he trashed that with some stuff that he did. So I guess 10 million people watched the first episode where they talked about their marital troubles this year. So they had that 15 minutes of fame that they were riding for an extra long time. So because of all the fallout, apparently, they're right now on legal problems, the couple's problems, TLC's problems, the network and all of that, it turns out as of right now, there is nothing moving forward. So here's the thing, and I read a story in this and I thought, oh, they are so right on this. The problem is, okay, you seduce people with this whole thing of all these kids and here's what we're doing and here's the reality version, and they were getting paid. Can you imagine this? Think of Stu in Kentucky and his family and other people listening. Can you imagine getting paid to have cameras, first of all, hanging around you for 5 months out of the year, but getting paid $2 million? There's your kid's education or whatever, if you could stand it. And they have all these kids, you know, 8 kids. So that was they were earning buku bucks for that. Plus they had endorsements and all the other stuff. So it was probably more than $2 million. That was just the pure salary. And what happened was then this whole thing falls apart. They're overexposed all over the place, every magazine, mainstream, tabloidy, etc. So then nobody, they're sick of them. They don't want anything to do with them. They're tired of it. We're over it. People don't want to be depressed. They don't want to hear about the glass being half empty every day. It's over. It's done. So there's nowhere they can go with this. And he caused so much problems that there was no way for her to move forward with it. It's just a train wreck, and it's not working anymore. So in the end, I hope they save some of that money for those kids and their education. Because after introducing them to the camera and having them live with the camera for so long, ultimately what they did cost them the money that they were raking. And frankly, for my money, I never watched them. Like I said, I was aware of who they were, but I thought it was so over the top, and it was another one of those who cares. We have serious things happening. There are so many other more interesting things, even on the fun side of life, than these two people and their idiot problems being played out before everybody and being on talk shows and stuff. And it just became the blame game, and it did get too depressing. So, Matt, if you were her, I would probably want to strangle him, because I had convinced the network to just move forward. She had convinced the network just to move forward with her, so she still would have been getting some of that do-re-mi love from TLC. But he cost her that. So not only are they getting divorced, now they got all these kids and the separation and having to figure out the alimony and the back and forth and custody and everything. But that's the end of that set gravy train, that salary.
I'm sure she'll end up with a book deal and maybe her own talk show. I don't think the gravy train will end quite yet.
I don't see her doing a talk show. What she does, who is watching her doing a talk show? See, now that's interesting that you say that about the talk show, because Oprah Winfrey announces on Friday that officially that she's done as of 2011. She's going to start her own network, but she's going to leave the mainstream, if you will, the ABCs mostly around the country. So everybody speculating, ooh, who's the replacement for Oprah? Is it Anderson Cooper? Is it Katie Couric? Is it Kate Goslin? Oh, people watched her. Shame on them if they would watch her do a talk show. I don't see it, because what is interesting? What does she have to offer that's so interesting, or what incredible skills does she have that would really suck you in to listening to her interviews or whatever? I don't see it.
There's lots of people with shows that I don't understand how they're successful, so I don't know.
Yeah, that's true. Reality TV. Yeah. I think that maybe it's something about the box. Maybe people watch TV too much, so it comes to the point where some people will zone in on anything. You just put it in front of them, and they'll just watch whatever it is. Doesn't matter if it's ridiculous or it's mildly interesting to them or not even interesting at all. They'll just stay in front of it, and it has just sucked you in. It has pulled you into its grasp. Maybe that's the theory.
I don't know. For me, it takes some effort to get me sucked into a show. I still have friends who refuse to believe I don't like Dexter, but I just don't. It never caught on with me. I know it's a highly successful show.
I love it.
Not my cup of tea.
Yeah, I like Dexter, but I like more of the cable shows, and I usually end up TiVoing everything because of the time constraints anyway, but not reality TV. I'm not a reality TV fan. All right, 800, we're all over the map as usual here on America Tonight. 800-259-5791. Hang with us on to what's happening across the country coming up on the flip side.
Say no to government vaccinations.
Say no to toxic overload.
Say no to chemicals.
Say yes to Liquid Zeolite. When you have fatigue, problems concentrating, muscle weakness, headaches, digestion, memory loss, influenza, or joint pain,
the solution may be as simple as detoxifying your body.
Chemical-free Liquid Zeolite helps the body heal itself so that it can become stronger to fight off viruses.
Why risk government vaccinations?
Liquid Zeolite detoxifies the body by safely helping remove toxins and heavy metals, boosting energy levels, and promoting a strong immune system. Liquid Zeolite is tasteless, odorless, and so gentle you won't even know you're taking it.
Feel great again in as little as 3 days to 3 weeks.
Liquid Zeolite comes with a money-back guarantee, but it's only available at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Learn how to get 3 bottles of Liquid Zeolite at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. That's RestoreYourHealthNow.com or call 1-800-976-0025. 1-800-976-0025. 100% natural, 100% safe,
100% amazing.
Try Liquid Zeolite today.
You're listening to GCN, the Genesis Communication Radio Network.
This is Big John Lipscomb. World government and all its tyranny is rapidly approaching. The choices you make today will determine your level of suffering and freedom tomorrow. I have 2 solutions for you, so you and your family can stay strong and free. PatriotFood.com. 135 pounds of long-lasting dehydrated food in 25 varieties. That's 1/4 the cost of many freeze-dried offers of the same weight. And SurvivalistSeeds.com, where I just released my best offer ever. 7,000 heirloom vegetable seeds, 30 varieties of vegetables. That's over 4 pounds of seed, and I ship it in a time capsule so they will last decades. And now, you can get a second for a $60 savings. PatriotFood.com and SurvivalistSeeds.com. Anything else is just a copycat.
Would you like some of Uncle Sam's money back? You may be eligible for up to $625,000 in HECM stimulus. That's right. If you or your parents are 62 years of age or older and a homeowner, this message is vitally important. Please listen. Uncle Sam has authorized a government-backed program through the FHA called HECM or HECM. It is authorized under the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act of 2009. Senior homeowners 62 or older can apply for this increased stimulus program for free at rmapply.com. That's the letter R, the letter M, apply.com. rmapply.com. Right now, seniors are taking advantage of this program's benefits using the money to pay off debt, purchase precious metals, stock up on storable foods, or make home repairs. But the money is yours to use as you wish. To learn more and see how much HECM money you could qualify for, go to rmapply.com. The application is free. Visit rmapply.com or call for a no-obligation evaluation at 713-551-1155. That's 713-551-1155.
For the past year, you've heard about GardenInACan.com right here on GCN. GardenInACan.com is your source for premium non-hybrid and non-genetically modified seeds. Each order includes 16 carefully selected varieties made specifically for both spring and fall, giving you an extended growing season. You'll receive approximately 18,000 seeds, giving you the ability to plant a crisis garden of up to two-thirds of an acre. Every order is hermetically sealed to lock in freshness and sealed again in a large metal can for the ultimate protection, giving you a shelf life of up to 10 years. For a limited time, while supplies last, GardenInACan.com is having a sale. Order your Garden in a Can for only $49.95. That's right, $49.95. If you have a preparedness plan and it does not include long-term storable garden seeds, this is the best time to acquire your seeds. Take advantage of this great offer and order now. Visit GardenInACan.com. That's GardenInACan.com.
And let you know whether or not anybody nailed the score this time around. And don't forget, coming up on Tuesday, we have the shortened week, so we've got Nail the Score on Tuesday in our third hour. I hope a lot of people are still around, because five people who come close get a copy of Dave Pell's book on fixing your golf game. It's called Damage Control. It's really, really good. If you're not into golf, you could pass it on to someone else, because it's a hardcover book, so it'd be a good present to give to somebody. Plus, everybody who calls in anyway, already, if you've called in, you're entered for the big drawing at the end of the season. If nobody, I mean, somebody could still nail the score and they get the prize pack, which would include this, but if you are just anybody who's called in, we have a drawing at the end of the year for the Pels class, for the sleeve, the 24 balls, for the wedge. It's all good, my friends. So now it does count if you come close on Tuesday, and even if you call in, there's something in it for you by the end of the season, because you might be the lucky winner. But of course, we've had, I don't know, over 100 something people, whatever it is, every week. So what are the odds? But you could be the person that gets chosen. That's the key deal here. All right, speaking of getting chosen, we all want to win something, don't we? We'd like to win the lottery. More and more I hear people of all kinds saying they want to win the lottery. You know, it used to just be a joke, oh, well, you have to play to win. But now people are really talking about that. And why? Because of the economy and people who can't find jobs, and because of the tighter pinch and the talk of more taxes to pay for this, to pay for that, et cetera. So Tim Geithner's been under fire, obviously, and he was grilled last week on the Hill. Here's what it sounded like when Geithner was asked about the economy and the repercussions.
conservatives agree that as point person you failed. Liberals are growing in that consensus as well. Poll after poll shows the public has lost confidence in this this president's ability to handle the economy for the sake of our jobs. Will you step down from your post?
Congressman, it is a great privilege for me to serve this president, and I am very pleased to have a chance to address the range of concerns you said. I agree with almost nothing in what you said, and I think almost nothing in what you said represents a fair and accurate perception of where this economy is today. Now, I think it's important to start. Welcome the advice that you're providing after you gave this president economy falling off the cliff, values of American savings cut almost in half, millions of Americans out of work. Again, the worst financial crisis we've seen in a generation.
Remind me, Mr. Secretary, what post were you holding when President Bush left office? Just remind me what economic post you were holding.
I was the president of the Federal Reserve Bank of New York.
All right, so you had to go list his credentials. That was pretty interesting. So as you can imagine, as part of the Sunday shows, people were talking about the economy a little bit, obviously, too. And Senator Joe Lieberman added his own twist to it, although he did stick up for Geithner and didn't feel like Geithner should be fired because a lot of people are starting to call for his head. And that was that testy exchange you saw from last week, the Secretary of the Treasury on the hot seat. So Joe Lieberman defends Geithner and also talks about where we're moving with the economy.
Well, that's up to the President Obama, but I'd say he should. In other words, I wouldn't call for his resignation. I think it's too easy to make one person a scapegoat. The fact is that a lot of the things that have been done, look, the economy is not where we want it to be, particularly with unemployment over 10%, probably real under an unemployment almost 17.5%. That's horrible. People are really hurting. But a lot of the things that were done beginning in the Bush administration with the TARP program and all the rest, and then the Stimulus Act, I think are bringing us back. And the stock market is saying that with the heights it's reached. We got work to do. I think the most important thing we can do, for instance, on health care reform, is do no harm. Don't add to the debt. That's the thing I'm really worried about. Second, there are some more things we can do without spending a lot of money to stimulate the economy a little more after the first of the year. And then I'd say fiscal regulatory reform. Close the gaps that allowed the people on Wall Street and the banks to basically cheat us.
But this is a big debate.
All right, so you get Lieberman's idea here, and he knows that some of what happened was inherited. I mean, ultimately, Henry Paulson certainly made a mess of things because he had his cronies that he was protecting, no doubt. But Geithner, to me, the first problem was with Tim Geithner. The first problem was the guy didn't pay his taxes. He had to go way back into his history, into his vault, to pay up those taxes. Ooh, the Secretary of the Treasury, and I've got to go back and dig deep. That was the first problem. Yes, with things that happened, you can only advance the ball so far, but the stimulus and the way it was portrayed, and again, the amount of the deficit is ridiculous. You cannot keep adding to this. You already know this. I'm preaching to the choir here for most of you probably listening. All right, here's Senator Feinstein's take on what's more important when we talk about the economy. Really, she thinks, as I think, one of the things, especially in California, is what are you going to do about the jobs? It's the jobs. We've got to have those jobs. Here's what she said.
Well, right now it's more jobs because unemployment. I've got nearly 2.5 million people unemployed. That's bigger than the population of 12 states. It's a real problem because California is an economic dynamo for the rest of the country. And when it's off, it has a repercussion all throughout America, and it is off. Having said that, I think we need to do some very careful things with respect to some lending for big infrastructure. An interest that I've had for a long time is in high-speed rail, and there are three regional high-speed rail systems being planned in the United States. I'd like to see an infrastructure bank developed with some of the remaining TARP money that could lend to communities to move those plans forward quicker so that because transportation has it has 40,000 jobs for $1 billion spent. And so it's a good investment of funds right now. We have to be concerned with jobs. I cannot tell you what it's like when college graduates come and say, look, I've sent out 40 resumes. I've been turned down 40 times. I've got a degree. I'm a 4.0 student. What do I do? Let alone the person that has worked in a machine shop who's laid off. It is a real problem in our country.
All right, so you hear Feinstein there, and of course, it's, again, incredibly tough in California. I know I've mentioned this before. I have a friend that's out of work in California who's massively qualified. Looks like she could be close to a job, but it's been a long, long road, and not for nothing, not for lack of effort and trying. So of all the places there, and all the states that have been hurt, people listening to me in Michigan, I know that you can sympathize with what's happened there, but Michigan and California definitely slammed, no question about that. I mean, there's a great chance in California already they're seeing it because of the budget problems that they've had to shorten weeks for people, but that means taking out of their paycheck, but better to have some than none, and that's been a huge problem for a lot of people. That's a number that you don't often hear talked about, but the underemployed, people who are not really making ends meet at all, and they're just trying to do whatever they can to get money to come to the door. Well, it should have been a movie star. Shoulda, woulda, coulda. This was the genre to be a part of. Of course, the vampire deal. Check this out. New Moon, which is the sequel to Twilight, pulled in $140 million. That's just domestically in the opening weekend. I mean, this is the teenage girl's, you know, fantasy. This Robert Patterson or whatever his name is. But obviously their dates are taking them, or their mothers are taking them, or someone's taking them, because it's not just teenage girls. $140 million. Wow. Incredible that it would open that high for the sequel, but I guess I'm not surprised. They've struck a chord here, kind of like the new Harry Potter, although much more violent if you think of the whole vampire thing. And this New Moon movie advances the ball in some of the stories that you might have heard in Twilight. I didn't see Twilight, so you know, I know it's about vampires. I know what it is. But that's crazy to hit that number. And a part of it is the hot guy and the cute girl. It's a genre that's worked for a long time, and it is, you get the guy, you get the girl, they're on the teen magazines, and they will come. And they call these people that go to see it, twihards. That's what they call them, the people that are online. They get their fix that way. So I guess I should have realized that this was going to be a new blockbuster. Like I said, kind of like the Harry Potter deal. Different in what it is, but the fact that it's pulling in that much in just one weekend, and it created a frenzy at the LA premiere. Imagine if they keep pumping out more of these books. Robert Pattinson will be set for life, or probably he already is, because he's got that good look and that hair and the whole thing working for him, and he's just a kid. He's 23 years old, and he's got him. So he's got the franchise, and then he can move on to other things. Vampires. Anybody pay attention to vampires anymore? Well, there is True Blood, and I have to say that I'm hooked into that. I'm from the Dark Shadows crowd of a long time ago. I know, it doesn't really fit with the other stuff I do. All right, coming up, we're going to tell you, I'm getting the safe out now, whether or not anybody nailed the score, plus some highlights and lowlights from the NFL.
An A to Z product listing, top 20 bestsellers, and 30% off monthly specials. That's just a few of the many reasons why vitamin, mineral, and herbal supplement shoppers visit RippleCreek.com every day. Listen.
I'm a customer of RippleCreek.com and find it to be one of the best companies of its kind in product, customer service, and speed of delivery, and your prices are great.
RippleCreek.com has the full range of discount vitamins, minerals, and herbal supplements in an easy-to-use A to Z listing. Find everything from amino acids to grapeseed plus to our special colloidal minerals formula with over 99 trace minerals. Yes for Women, fun intimacy enhancement cream to zinc. Not sure what your body needs? Click our handy vitamin guide at RippleCreek.com. Choose the low-cost online vitamin store where the internet has shopped since 1996. RippleCreek.com. Type in radio ad, and on orders over $40 this month, get a free bottle of our Grape Seed Plus product while supplies last. Hurry to RippleCreek.com today. That's RippleCreek.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
A question for you. Do you know what is in the air you're breathing? Do you know what chemicals are placed in the water you drink? Would you like to combat these intrusions? I'm not just talking toxins. I'm talking about chemicals that are harmful. Maybe now you understand why you feel tired so much. Change your life with Life Change Tea. Cleanse from toxins and chemicals and lose weight. Receive energy. There is no better investment than your body. Log on to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Or you can call us at 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Friendly operators will take your order and answer your questions. Be set free and live better. GetTheTea.com.
Smith to the right of Matthew Stafford. 8 seconds remaining. Stafford takes the snap. Sets in the pocket. Rolls left. This is going to be it. Got to get rid of it. Stafford sets. Looks. Now running back to his right. Stafford looking for somewhere to go. Sets and throws. End zone. Watch out. He pushed him. That's got to be a flag. It's going to be first and goal, Lions. No time on the clock. The Lions will get one play. This will be interference in the end zone. Stafford up under center. Last play of the game. Takes the snap. Rolls, throws, end zone. Touchdown, Detroit Lions. Fancy Pettigrew. Rookie to rookie. What a finish. And the Lions are an extra point away from the win.
Tony Stewart is tight right. Zach Miller, the right wing of the slot. Left, Murphy inside of Hayward Bay. A pump right. A throw left for Murphy. He's got it. He's in! Touchdown! Raiders! And this will be Caldwell's first return today. Well, he had one return earlier for 22 yards. Here's a kickoff by Janikowski. Caldwell will take it a yard deep in the end zone. He's coming out 10. Hit at the 15 off that tackle. Cut back inside.
Oh, he's open the ball! The Raiders have it! The Raiders have recovered the ball on the 18-yard line and field goal range to win the game!
Yeah, how about those Colts? They reached 10-0 thanks to the Ravens' huge mistakes. Here's some of the highlights and lowlights as I mentioned, because it depends on who you cheer for. I mean, it's highlights if it's your team stomping on the grave of the opponent. Certainly, it's lowlights if you're on the other side of that matchup. For example, my Philadelphia Eagles, they played the Sunday night game. They held on for the win. They beat Chicago. Chicago had chances, and there was an interception at the end that killed it. So the Eagles win this 24-20. They're 6-4 as a result, and they were playing in Chicago's pretty tough territory. It was really a must-win for them because the Cowboys, how they keep pulling this out, the Cowboys won again, but barely, with a touchdown in the fourth quarter. The Redskins could only put up a couple of kicks, a couple of field goals. So 7-6, they win. They're 7-3. But how about the Saints? Of course they were going to beat the Buccaneers. They're 10-0, 38-7 the final score there. The Giants barely, this was the interesting game, they're 6-4, but they barely get by the Falcons, 34-31. The Lions beat the Browns, 38-37. How about those Vikings? They keep on rolling. Yes, it's Seattle, but it was at Mall of America Field, at Hubert Humphrey Metrodome, Minneapolis, Minnesota. What a mouthful. The Vikings slaughter the Seahawks, 35-9. But here was an interesting game. The Chiefs now are 3-7. They beat the Steelers 27-24. But what's scary is Ben Roethlisberger with a head injury. Now, something that has now got the NFL really talking is if you're the quarterback, you get your, and other players could have this happen too, but primarily the quarterback, you get your bell rung. How many times can you have a concussion and not have this, you know, take you out for your career, like Troy Aikman or some other people? Merrill Hodge is another one who suffered through that, when you know you have to quit because it's just too risky for what's happened to you on the head. So Ben Roethlisberger just wobbled. If you watch that, he had a possible concussion. You could just see him on the sidelines. And so, you know, there has to be a concern there. He took a knee to the helmet when he was getting sacked. And needless to say, these kind of things happen to the signal callers, and it's very, very dangerous. So the NFL has instituted a new policy on concussions. And I think that's a good thing, because you certainly don't want somebody to end the career, whether it's a decent career they've had and they've never won a Super Bowl, or they're a Super Bowl winning quarterback, to go out and have sort of a vegetative state or a mush brain for the rest of their life because of head trauma is not a good thing. And whatever they have to do, whatever it is they have to do, I think to look at what's happened as a result of getting slammed over and over again is a good thing. So here's what they've done. Teams were instructed to immediately find independent doctors and send names to leagues for approval. And what they're talking about is that each team is required to supplement their medical staff with an independent neurologist to help specifically with concussions, which I think is a good thing that Roger Goodell has decided to put in place. This is such a hot button, and it is so, so, so scary. It doesn't always have to be the quarterback. Like Eagles running back Brian Westbrook had two concussions in two games. So that's why he stayed out extra weeks to make sure that he was okay. All right, so without further ado, that was the week that was. Just a couple of highlights. You heard some of them, and I talked about some of the other games. But the game of the week was the Chargers and the Broncos. A lot of you called and really believed in the Broncos, thought it was going to be a great game for them, liked some home cooking and all that other sort of stuff. But, boy, I don't know that any of us could have envisioned what happened. Here's some of the highlights from the game of the week.
Chris Sims will go to work with Kyle Orton hurt. The son of the great Phil Sims is yet to win the hearts of Bronco fans. Sims has not passed the football yet. He's back in shotgun, and he will right now. They're coming at him. He is hit and stripped of the ball. It's rolling around, scooped up by Gregory. And Steve Gregory has it for the Chargers at the 32-yard line. San Diego's got that football. Sean Phillips made it happen. First and goal from the 4-yard line. Orton hands it off to Moreno, sliding towards the goal line. Fumbled it as he crossed the goal line. Gregory makes his second recovery of this game. Charger football as it popped out right at the goal line into the arms of Steve Gregory. Three tight ends. Manimaliuna's one of them. He's in motion. Handoff Tomlinson. Following Manimaliuna's block. Diving to the goal line. Touchdown! San Diego! go! Tolbert in front of him. Matamaliuna motions to the right side of the line. And the handoff inside to Tolbert. Breaking tackles. Touchdown, San Diego!
All right, so you get the gist of that. Touchdown, San Diego. So the Chargers win this 32-3. I like the Chargers, but I thought it was going to be a close game. 27-21 was my choice. Matt said Denver 24-20. And a lot
I'm
of you.
I'm stupid. You're smart.
Oh, sweet. I love it. A lot of us thought it would be close, but it was anything but close. And the problem was, and we did say this on the show, I know this was one of the things I said, if Chris Sims comes in, it has disaster possibly written all over it, and that's part of what happened. I'm not taking anything away from the Chargers either, though. And the Chargers now control the destiny in the AFC West, at least for this week. They're 7-3. So that was a tough loss for Denver. And throwing Kyle Orton in at the end didn't help any, of course. And the Broncos go down in flames. Did you watch that game, Matt?
I watched a little bit of it, but it got so out of hand.
So boring.
I mean, it was a lot like the Vikings game. By the time the third quarter was heading into play, it was just the end of the game was never in doubt. I mean, these teams there was a lot of close games, close overtime games. The Lions game went down to the wire, but there were also blowouts. And the Chargers and the Vikings games are two of them, and so I quit watching both of them.
Oh, yeah, they were boring. And, you know, it's interesting. It brings something up about Chris Sims. He was rusty. He showed it, of course, because he doesn't take that many snaps at practice. You know, you wonder if you should work more with the backup quarterback, never intending. I mean, supposedly the backup's always ready. They know the game plan, et cetera. And you have to focus on your number one guy. But it makes you wonder if they shouldn't be more in the loop a little bit. This is a perfect example. I mean, you could say, well, Chris Sims isn't the great quarterback anyway. But he really looked off the mark completely. He looked befuddled to me in some of the plays I saw.
Yeah, he didn't look that good. But here in Viking land, we had T-Jack play the entire fourth quarter because we were up so much, and he even threw a touchdown pass.
And how about that?
So that's how you get the backups playing time. You just got to steamroll the team.
Right, exactly. Steamroll, if you are, that's a good point, though. If you are steamrolling a team, definitely then, if your number one guy, your superstar is well, sure, put in the other guy. And a lot of teams obviously do that because at least they're getting the real live action, you know, et cetera. And so it was good for that to happen for the Vikings. But it's what an amazing role it's been for them, whether they're playing a team that's okay or a team that's really, really good. It's been an exciting year, certainly, for those fans, for Saints fans as well, for Colts fans. They're excited. The NFC East is a toss-up. It's got to be exciting for Charger fans because they've won five straight while the Broncos have dropped four in a row. So nobody nailed the score, sorry to say. But good luck next time around. Remember, lock and load for Tuesday/Wednesday in our third hour. We'll do this week's Nail the Score Thanksgiving Day special.
Go to the T.O. show right now.
All I want to know if you got your popcorn ready. Do you got your popcorn ready? I love me some meat. I can't stand myself.